basically, broadly speaking, we may say that the Abhidharma does three things. In the first place, the Abhidharma establishes the meaning of technical terms. Many terms in the teaching hadn't been very precisely defined, used in one context in one sense, in another context in another sense, but the Abhidharma did away with all that. It delimited the meaning of terms, it established a certain technical meaning for them. And it developed what we may describe as a strict and almost scientific terminology. Secondly, the Abhidharma collated different discussions of the same topics. For instance, in this vast mass of traditions, the Buddha might have spoken about Nirvana, say, 20 times. But one reference to it was here, another reference was there. In one context he spoke from this point of view, in another context from that point of view. So what the Abhidharma did was to collate, to bring together references of this sort, to compare them and try to extract from them a common teaching, and to establish a definitive meaning, a definitive approach. So this is the second thing that the Abhidharma did. Thirdly, the Abhidharma expounds the whole teaching, the whole range of the doctrine, the Dharma, systematically. Instead of having it bit by bit, according to circumstances, according to what question was asked, the Abhidharma, instead of that, organizes the whole teaching into a totality and expounds it systematically. So these are the three things which the Abhidharma does, the three basic things which it does. Establishes the meaning of technical terms, collates different discussions of the same topic, and expounds the whole teaching systematically. This is the achievement, this is the work of the Abhidharma. And it is certainly, we may say, a very great achievement indeed. And the Abhidharma dominated Buddhism in India for about 1,000 years. It's a very, very important school, a very, very important tradition. And if we do not know something at least about the Abhidharma, its basic viewpoint, its recurrent themes, its distinctive emphasis, then we cannot really understand the course of the development of Buddhist thought, certainly not as it developed in India. At the same time, it must be admitted, it must be confessed, that the Abhidharma had its negative side. The Abhidharma, we may say, banished from Buddhism the human element. It took out of the teachings, it took out of the traditions, everything which was biographical, everything which was historical. It banished myth, it banished legend, it banished, above all, poetry from the scriptures, from the teachings. And in the Abhidharma, we may say, the impersonal, the scientific, and the rational reigns supreme. Eventually, of course, inevitably, the banished elements reasserted themselves. And they did this, they reasserted themselves in what we call the Mahayana, the Great Way, and in the Vajrayana, or the Adamantine Way, that is to say, Tantric Buddhism. But that is another story. We're not concerned with that this evening. Let us therefore go back to the Abhidharma.